Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 2 of week number 20, studying Matthew chapter 20. As we get started, these reminders. For our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. Two new resources are available at that page. A free book, Receiving the Gift of Salvation. This book does just what the title suggests. It teaches that God gives us salvation, but it also teaches us just how we are to receive that gift. Download it now, read it, and you will be blessed. The second book, Surrendering to His Lordship, addresses what the Bible teaches about the Lordship of Jesus, meaning His authority. Sad to say, but many people claim to be Jesus, yet they fail to fully surrender to Him. Download that book, read it, and again, you will be blessed. For updates to our broadcasts, text IGHFREE, all one word, to 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to IGH.worldbibleschool.org for a free self-paced series of courses, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Remember to keep up with us at facebook.com/internationalgospelhour and twitter.com/Jody Apple. Let's return to our study of Matthew 20. In our first broadcast studying this chapter, we started by showing its Matthew 19 Kingdom of Heaven connections. We surveyed some of the key words in Matthew 20, and we started our overview and our outline of this chapter. We ended that broadcast at verse 21. We continue that overview, backing up to verse 20 to establish the context. After we complete this overview, we begin the regular verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of the chapter. In Matthew 20, verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus. James and John were the sons of Zebedee. They were the second group of apostles selected after the first set of brothers, Peter and Andrew. Both sets of brothers were fishermen. What did she want, and why did she want it? In Matthew 20, 21, Jesus asked her what she wanted. Here, no doubt for the benefit of those who were with him on this occasion, Jesus asked out loud what the mother of James and John wanted for her two sons. In Matthew 20, verse 22, Jesus then replied to James and John and their mother, and they responded. Jesus, in light of what we just read in chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, was preparing to go to Jerusalem. That trip to Jerusalem would be his last major journey. Soon, he would be betrayed by Judas. He would be rushed through trials in the middle of the night, and by the next morning, he would be nailed to the cross to die. In view of all of that, Jesus asked a question to make the disciples think about what they were requesting. That question, in effect, was this: are you ready to go through what I am about to go through? Their response, we are able. We will see how that plays out as we work our way through Matthew and the rest of the gospel narratives. In Matthew 20, verse 23, Jesus followed up on their short response. Jesus assured the disciples that they would indeed go through what he was about to go through. They were not at this time, however, prepared for any of that. They had much more to learn, and some of the most valuable lessons they would neither grasp nor master until after Jesus' death. And then there's that request. Jesus explained why he could not fulfill what Zebedee's wife asked for. In Matthew 20, 24 through 28, Jesus spoke to the subjects of authority and humility in the kingdom. The other 10 apostles were not very happy to hear what James and John's mother asked for, something evidently that James and John were keen to obtain. To set them all straight, Jesus put worldly versus spiritual pursuits in perspective. Worldly people worry about their authority. Spiritual people do not. Worldly people want others to serve them. Spiritual people want to serve others. Greatness and servanthood from a worldly perspective are antithetical. Greatness and servanthood from a spiritual perspective are mutually inclusive. Remember what Jesus came to be, and remember what Jesus came to do. In Matthew 20, verses 29 through 30, two blind men petitioned Jesus. Two blind men sitting by the side of the road called out to Jesus. Note the language that they used. They called out to Jesus as the Son of God, and they asked for mercy. In Matthew 20, verse 31, the multitude cautioned the blind men. Why? And what did the blind men do in response? In Matthew 20, verse 32, Jesus spoke to these blind men. Jesus stopped. He spoke to the blind men, and Jesus asked what they wanted. In Matthew 20, verses 30 and 34, Jesus' final encounter with the blind men in the chapter. The blind men wanted what most blind men wanted. They wanted to see. Jesus, always compassionate, touched them. And the blind men saw, and the blind men followed Jesus. Let's start now with our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Matthew chapter 20. Starting in Matthew chapter 20, the first seven verses, Jesus teaches another lesson about the coming kingdom of heaven. Unlike many of the chapter openings in Matthew up to this point, Matthew chapter 20 begins without any introduction at all. Verse 1 takes us right into another Jesus kingdom of heaven parable. In prior chapter starts, there was an obvious change in time, or a change in place, or a change in topic. Occasionally, we saw all three. But chapter 20, verse 1 begins as if Jesus was already in the middle of an ongoing preaching and teaching environment. And of course, that's just what we find. Open your Bible and look at the closing verses of Matthew 19 and then the opening verses of Matthew 20. There's nothing that happens between the last verse of Matthew 19 and the opening verses of Matthew 20. No movement in time, place, or topic, just a continuation of what was already in progress. That's why, in our introduction to this chapter, we keyed in on the last verses of the prior chapter, where Jesus was not just already teaching, but where Jesus was already teaching about the kingdom of heaven. Here's what we observed. The rich young man came to Jesus wanting to know what he needed to do in order to inherit eternal life. In his final remarks to this man, Jesus told him to sell what he had, give it to the poor, and then follow after me, that is, Jesus. The young man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. And then Jesus said this, "Assuredly, I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 19:23. From that point forward, the remainder of the 19th chapter revolved around the kingdom of heaven. So, when Matthew 20 opens with, "For the kingdom of heaven is like," it simply continued to address what was already in progress. Though the topic did not change, Matthew 20 presents a unique perspective that reinforced the life expectations that the kingdom of heaven demanded, expectations that were distilled in Jesus' final statement in this segment of Matthew 19. Remember, two chapters earlier, Matthew 18 started with a discussion of who would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 18, verse 1. There's a sense in which that concern about greatness never really went away. In that Matthew 18 context, to counter the disciples' apparent obsession about that greatness, Jesus called a child, placed that child in the middle of the apostles, and then taught them that one must be like this little child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 18, starting in verse 2. In the next chapter, Matthew 19, after the discussion about divorce, children became the topic of conversation again. When children were brought to the Lord, the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus, however, did not forbid the children to come to him, saying, "For of such is the kingdom of heaven." This little block of teaching, only 3 verses long, might seem to be out of place. It was preceded by the much larger block of Scripture that dealt with divorce, the 11 verses of chapter 19, verses 1 and following. And it was followed by 2 interconnected larger blocks of Scripture, chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, Jesus' discourse with the rich young man, and then chapter 19, verses 23 through the end of the chapter, the kingdom of heaven discussion, triggered by Jesus' statement about how hard it would be for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those 2 interconnected segments are 5 times the number of verses, 15 verses compared to 3 verses of the little children segment in that chapter. And yet, that short segment reminds us, as it should have reminded the disciples, of Jesus' message about becoming like little children in Matthew 18, verses 2 and following. The disciples, in response to Jesus' statement that it was hard for the rich to enter heaven in 19, verses 23 and 24, they were greatly astonished, prompting them to ask, "Who then can be saved?" verse 25. Jesus assured them that this was impossible for men, but not for God, verse 26. And then Peter asked, in effect, "We have given up everything for you, and we have followed you. What will we get?" Verse 27. There's no way to know everything that Peter was thinking in this setting, but the disciples' astonished reaction to Jesus' remark about the rich caught their attention. The concern was this. There has always been an underlying current, a combination of a worldly, success-oriented philosophy with a complicit, cheap theology, one that made, better, one that assumed, too tight of a connection between being God's and being blessed by God, especially being physically blessed by God. Yes, there are plenty of passages that tell us that God wants to bless us, and that God wants to bless us abundantly. Does that mean that unless we have abundant physical blessings, we cannot be God's disciples? No, not at all. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 20. This reminder as we conclude, to get started in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study, just go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.